I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. We are back on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
And I have to say that I've been thinking about this for, I guess, for 2 or 3 weeks since we scheduled it. Folks, about a month or a month and a half ago, I found this guy on Instagram and I showed Julie his posts. And as a grandparent myself, and as someone who want to make sure I do the right things and not do the things that I saw other grandparents do, I was really, really taken by what he talks about, what he preaches, informally preaches. And everything is very easy to understand. He's come out with a new book that we're going to talk about. But we have with us today Rick Cognata, the founder of LegacyOfAGrandpa.com. He's the author of his new book, Connecting Across Generations, One Conversation at a Time. You had me at the title. So happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you both. This is going to be fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we are really looking forward to it. And I think the best way to start, and I've got lots of questions, and Julie and I often interrupt each other, so be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. But let's start at the beginning, if we could. You've not always been a grandparent.
No. So
what gave you the idea and why do this? Why not just go about your business and work and do your thing? What made you decide to get into this particular genre?
Well, David, I think you said it at the beginning of the podcast. You said you've watched other grandparents maybe not do the right thing. And, you know, as I was on my way up and raising kids and someday knowing that I'm going to be a grandparent, I had my eyes wide open. And you do. You see grandparents make mistakes. And I don't think there's no manual. There's no instruction booklet. Just because you're a good mom or dad doesn't mean you're going to be a good grandparent. And I think a lot of people go in saying, I'm going to crush this. This is going to be easy. Everybody tells me it's going to be great to be a grandparent. And it is. But you got to do a little homework. And I figured, you know what? When I started the social media piece that I'm sure we're going to talk about, I felt that I had a lot of insight that I could give. I'm a leadership developer in my full-time job, so I'm changing behaviors and getting people thinking differently in terms of leaders at my company. So I said, I think I could do the same thing with grandparents and just get them thinking differently. That's my goal. Again, not really trying to change them, but just get them thinking differently.
It's really interesting, you know, and like I said, I've seen you and I've listened to you. And my own grandfather, you know, was one of those, and he came from a very different generation, born in the early part of the 20th century. But he, you know, he was one of those guys, sat down on the floor, right? We played with, in those days, Lincoln Logs, if anybody remembers what those things
were. That.
You know, but he was one of those guys that got down and all the way through, you know, my youth and teenage years and until he passed away when I was in my 20s. He was always connected to me in that way. Now, other grandparents, not as much. And we have seen different levels of involvement. And so let's talk a little bit about those types of, you know, different types of personalities. I mean, you have some folks, Rick, and I've made this excuse for some people that they just don't have the gene, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have the, you know, they don't have the gene to pick up the phone and call or say, I'm going to come over and visit. I'm going to take them out for ice cream. I want to have them over the house, have them come with me. They have the gene that says, why isn't anyone calling me? They never reach out to me. I don't hear from them. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I love where you're going. And you're right. I wonder if it is a gene, because you talk about your grandpa. That's me. Like, I'm on the floor, I'm engaging, and I'm going to probably say this word multiple times throughout this podcast, and it's the word is intentional, right? And that's what this book is about. And just because you did not have a grandfather or family member or mom or dad that got on the ground with you and engaged with you doesn't mean that you can't break that cycle, right? So I guess if you're not, if that's not your default, to be able to being intentional and having the mentality like, well, I'm older, I'm the grandparent, they should come to me. If that's your default, I think you need to just start from curious and say, okay, what could I do differently? If the relationship's working, great. And this is all you want from it. Okay. But if it's not, and you're like, how come they're not connecting with me? How come I can't engage with them? Well, maybe you need to start looking inward a little bit and saying, what could I be doing differently as an individual, as a grandparent, you could even say parents, right? To be able to engage with my children more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love thinking about that. I think about my own grandparents, and I had very active grandparents. And one of the things that I know you talk about a lot is experiences. Mm. And my grandparents were really, really, really intentional and really good about creating experiences. I remember we went to the Ice Capades. We went to the Harlem Globetrotters. Every Sunday they would take us out. I remember, you know, just doing things with them. And they gave us nice things as well. But the things that I remember as a kid are the experiences. And I think you talk a lot about that. And I think that's so important.
Julie, I mean, you said it perfectly. You just rattled off three experiences without even having to think much about it. But if I said, name three gifts that your grandparents gave you when you were 14 years old, like, would you be able to repeat that? And, you know, maybe a couple of things, but the things that get ingrained in our mind are those moments that, you know, that are etched there because they were, an emotion was, you know, triggered, or there was something about that particular time with your grandparent that really kind of hit home with you.
Well, let me ask you about this idea, this concept of intentional grandparenting, which is, I think, one of the first things that caught my eye when I was looking at your materials. You know, so let's say, you know, and I'm sure folks reach out to you a lot directly, and they're going to get more of that when they're reading your book. But let's, you know, I'm a grandparent, let's say, you know, and it's nice, and I see them, and I got to work, and I got to do this, and I have to do that, and there's only so much time, and, you know, I do the best I can. I raised my kids, and now it's their turn, and so, you know, but I still would like to find a way to have a better relationship with them. So how do you give that type of person? What kind of advice do you give to that person?
So everything you said there, like, I raised my kids, like, if unfortunately, if you have that mentality, look, we're not asking these grandparents in my book or when I talk or when they DM me, I'm not asking you to raise your grandchildren. I'm just asking you to play an active role in their lives. And what does that mean? That's different for different people, right? That might mean, I'm there every single weekend, taking them out to lunch. Or that might mean, like, I can't do that because, and this is a huge subject in and of itself, I'm long distance. I would love to be there every single weekend, but I can't. So that might mean I'm going to be intentional every twice a week on a Tuesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm going to have a FaceTime call. Now, it's easier when they're 4 years old and they're all like loving you in the camera. And we know what happens, just like what happened to our kids. They distance themselves, right? I hear it all the time. Oh, wait till they're 16. They're not going to want anything to do with you. Well, I say, I'm not going to let that happen. You know, of course, I know that, you know, they're not going to want to hang out. You know, they call me no-no. As much as they do now as a 4 and a 1.5 year old.
Is no-no because that's what you tell them, or that just today?
No, no-no is Italian for grandpa. Yeah.
Very cool.
Nona, yeah. Grandma, no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because our oldest grandson, 10, turning 11, will go to his game. We'll go to his games, and he'll be like, what's up?
The other two come running up to you and give you a big hug and that kind of, you know, that kind of thing. For us, we sort of picked our own names, and my kids call me the same name that I called my grandfather. So it's kind of a cool,
I love that,
cool circle. I want to toggle back for just a second to this concept of creating core memories, which you talk about and Julie asked you about. And it also, to me, it ties in a little bit to, and we've talked about this in the relationship world, which is you get out what you put in. And I'm going to assume that you've seen what I've seen, which is folks years later say what I just said before, which is, you know, I never hear from them. And then, of course, the answer to that is, well, when they were 6 or 8 or 10, what were you doing? And
you got it.
Now's the time, right? Now's the time.
Yes, you're spot on. And that's the thing. Of course, it's easier now when they're younger because, they, right. like you said, they want to see you. And of course, like you said, Julie, they're going to be the whole, what's up? But mark my words, I'm constantly asking people much farther in the process than me, like, what are your tips? What are your tricks? And those that are involved, like we are, all say the same thing. Start with those core memories, build the foundation when they're younger. Yes, they'll pull away. But now my grandson's 25 years old and he calls me every day. Yeah. Or now, like, we go golfing constantly. Like, he's my best buddy. So, yes, it's going to get a little weird in the middle when they turn teenagers, but don't give up. You didn't give up on your children. You didn't just be like, well, whatever, I'll just hope they come back. You just stay on, right?
Of course. No. And the whole, and I keep talking a lot because I know Julie's voice is not the greatest today, but the other, and again, I keep pulling out these gems of yours because I want people to hear them. And this is true in all aspects of life and not just as being a grandparent, although I want to focus on that. But we've talked about this in relationships as well, which is it isn't about perfection. It's about presence. So tell us, and we've talked a little bit, you've alluded to it a little bit. Tell us what you mean in the concept of being a grand, insofar as being a grandparent is concerned.
In terms of like presence and not being perfect. Yeah. So it's a journey. Let's just be honest. Look at you when you became a grandparent, right? There was no instruction booklet. You get all this advice from other parents and your grandparents, your parents. But it's a journey. And I think when I talk about, I've made a lot of mistakes, you know, with my children, and I look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And I'm trying not to make those same mistakes as a grandparent, right? Because when you talk about relationships, if I approach this the wrong way, I'm not intentional. I don't do my homework. I don't think about things before I do them. I'm not only going to affect my relationship with my grandchildren, but it's probably going to negatively affect my relationship with my daughter and son-in-law. Mm-hmm. So forget the perfection, admit mistakes, be vulnerable, ask questions, start from curious. You know, I set the tone early on, even before my grandchildren were born, saying, honey, what do you want from me? How can I help you? How can I support you? I don't want to cross those boundaries. I've heard all these terrible negative stories. What could I do different? And it sounds crazy, but we had those conversations. So again, that's the perfection piece. And in terms of presence, it's just being there for your grandchildren, in their lives, involved as much as you can, you want to, number one, as much as you want to, and as much as your daughter or family, son, daughter, will let you into that family.
Yeah. And I think, Rick, that's an important piece because I think that there needs to be boundaries with, you know, with being a grandparent, right? It's not just like, hello, I'm here every day, or I'm here every week. Like, you need to be mindful that your kids have their own lives, your grandkids have their own lives, and you have to be respectful about that. Our kids live right down the street. We do not go over unless we're invited or we've called and said we're coming over. Like, we don't just show up.
Even I do every once in a while if I'm walking the dogs. I'm going to stick my head in the window.
Yeah.
But the other thing, you know, that was interesting for us when we're talking about boundaries, and I want you to weigh in a little bit on that. For about almost 2 years, our oldest daughter and our son-in-law and our two oldest grandchildren, they were much younger at the time, lived with us, and which was, for me, the best time of my life. I mean, you know, I'm rocking kids, I'm reading stories, I'm watching TV. For Julie, it was a lot of cleaning up the house that she thought she was over it. But it was a great time. But we had this issue in terms of, you know, the boundary. You see something happen, right? And you're a grandparent, but you're also a parent. And we had sort of a code word where if one of us did something that they thought was stepping into their realm,
oh, I love it.
They would just yell pantry. And so that would tell us to sort of step back. Now, I will say, so the record is clear, that this one to my left got pantried a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
But boundaries are that balance, right? You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad you brought it up because we could talk for 3 hours about the word boundaries. Our generation hates the word boundaries. Trust me, I've done videos and videos on it. And they say things to me, you know, they DM me and they say, we never had boundaries. We never used that word. Well, maybe we didn't use that word, but guess what? We had boundaries. I remember things that my parents did that I would just complain about all the time. To your point, stopping over, giving, mom, don't give them this food. Questioning me like, why are you doing this? And discipline and bedtime. And some parents cross the boundary and they just, look, I know more than you. I'm a parent. I raised you. I'm going to tell you how to raise your grandchildren. That mentality. There's tons and tons of people out there. And you know what? They have that mentality. And they might have a lot of good advice to give, but they go about it in the wrong way. Right? And to your point, it sounds like you're very aware of it, that they live right down the street from you. And you both say, I'm not just going to pop in. There's other people our age that will say, my father was one of them. I'll pop in anytime I want. You're my kid. If I want to pop in, I'm going to walk in the door. And that didn't always go over well in my house when he would do that, you know? So, and that was back then. So,
Well, families, I think families are different, but the boundaries and the boundaries can, you know, sort of, you know, modify or wave. There's waves, I guess, depending upon what everything looks like. I mean, you know, for me, the boundary issue is easy. At this point, it's gotten easier, but earlier on, it was much more difficult when the kids were younger and we were new at grandparents.
Because you figured it out. It's a learning process.
That's right. Exactly. It's that intentional piece that you're talking about.
Right. And what I like to tell people, this sounds counterintuitive, but when you create boundaries, when you have that conversation and you agree upon like things, everything we talked about, it actually invites them into the relationship even more. Because when you're breaking those boundaries and saying, I don't care, I'm going to do this, I'm your dad, I'll do what I want, I'll pop over, I'll give them any kind of food I want, versus, okay, honey, I got you. What do you need from me? Now they're going to bring you into their life even more because you're listening to them as opposed to, you know, hanging up their phone or closing the door saying, my father's driving me nuts. Like, why is he not listening to us?
So talk to us a little bit about this concept. And I want to know why you believe this, that grandparenting is your greatest role.
The book like that.
You could print a lot of t-shirts, by the way, because you got lots of little gems that people could wear around the boardwalks of the Eastern and Western West Coasts.
Yeah, David keeps on calling me into the kitchen going, did you hear what Rick said on this? This video? Like, I think
I've been a little hyper-focused.
Yeah, he's been very hyper-focused, but you have a lot of really good information and little nuggets.
So why is it the best? Why is it the greatest role?
Well, let me start by saying, you know this, you're a little ahead of me, right? You hear your whole life how great it is to be a grandparent, right? And then you really don't understand and you think it's going to be cool. But I think when we were on our way up and we were raising kids, again, no instruction booklet, making mistakes and doing some things really well, we've figured it out. Now we have age and wisdom behind us. I hear constantly from people like, I was too in the thick of it with work and my husband and I were both working and I feel so terrible. I look back now and I made so many mistakes. We got to give ourselves some grace. Now we get to be grandparents and we have all this wisdom. We've known the mistakes that, you know, we've made or things we wish we could have done differently. Now it's just like my baby had a baby. Like my little girl who was just this in my brain, she's still 12 years old. Now she's this beautiful woman. I'm watching her grow just like I did. So you get to watch that. It's two things. The beautiful progression of your little girl or little boy growing into an adult, raising a family. And then you get to, you know, spend time with these little human beings. And then later on have this great bond with them because of all the work you put in. And I've talked about it in the chapters of my book, I feel bad for my daughter. Like she comes over now and I just walk right by her and I go to I'm like, sorry, honey, I love you, but these guys they're just my pride and joy, you know?
Yeah. That's neat. That's neat. So what prompted you to write the book? I mean, the book is amazing and tell us about that.
So we got to back up. So the first question is what prompted me to start my Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So that's because the book came from that. So, about a little over a year ago, I got a lot of pushing and people asking me because of what I do at work. I do very similar things to what we're doing here. Like, you should do something on being a grandparent. So I did it. I took the leap thinking, who's going to watch me? Who's going to listen to me? And as you know, now I'm over 125,000 followers, which is very surreal, to be honest with you. Then I said, look, I only have 60 seconds to get my message across about this particular subject. And I'll never forget, I walked into the kitchen and I said to my wife, I said, I think I'm going to write a book. And she looked at me and went, oh, okay. Like, honey, I'm glad things are going well, but can you really do that? And I'll be honest with you, I knew nothing about it. So I just, to answer your question, why I wanted to be able to dive in a little bit more. So I found what I believed to be my 55 most important videos that I did, the reels on Instagram, and I just turned them into chapters. And I was able to speak a little bit more about them. The most important thing, though, I think, is I wanted to make it actionable. So, yeah, you read this page and a half, 2 pages about, you know, see through their eyes or do your homework. Well, now what? So as you know, there's a reflection question and a try this today. So I put my training hat on that from what I bring from work. I wanted people to do something after they read the chapter.
Yeah, I really love that. And we did a similar thing in our first book with these couples, Kickstarters type thing, where you put something out there that folks can take what they read about and try to put it into action. And what I love about your book, aside from the tips, aside from the advice, and is that it's easy. This is not science class. You know, this is not how do I become a physicist. This is stuff that all of us, if we are intentional, like you said, are able to do. And again, folks, the book is called Connecting Across Generations, One Conversation at a Time. The links will all be in our show notes and so forth. But so you go back through your Instagram posts. Mm-hmm. And you figure out what you think are the most, I don't want to say best, but
important,
impactful, maybe, impactful. Yeah. And you turn them into these very concise, and this is not War and Peace either, right? It's not a 500 page book. So people who are these days, right, who have small attention spans can take it in theory over a cup of coffee, a couple of chapters.
Yeah, I love it. And that's exactly what I wanted it to be, David. I'm glad you said that because I know how I am. I mean, I like to read. I wouldn't say I blow through thousands of books, but I love those books that I could just read 5 chapters and oh, I got to go. And then I could pick up on chapter 6 and bang out 6 more. And then what I think a lot of people have told me that it's really making me feel like I did the right thing is they're reading the whole book, but now they're going back and saying, okay, I ear tag chapters 28, 34, and 41. Honey, we got to work on this because I don't think we do a good job with this. So that's where the money is, right? That's where the big bang for your buck comes from.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, how has this work that you've been doing as a, you know, grandfather guru impacted the relationship that you have with your wife?
That's a great question. So we are very lucky. We have a great marriage and we've always been solid. But now what it's done is really made us think more about. So it's easy to write these chapters, but I have to live them too. And I'm a work in progress. We're both works in progress. So I feel like we talk more about grandparenting and what we're doing, or she'll call like one of my famous lines you've heard me say already today is start from curious. So she'll say to me, honey, start from curious. And I'm like, you're right, man. You're right. Thank you for telling me. We got to hold each other accountable.
Yeah, and it's so, so true, both, you know, again, in terms of grandparenting, in terms of your relationship. I'm glad Julie asked, because I was going to ask, but I'm glad she piped in and asked the question. So, and it is part, you got to, you know, you do want to practice what you preach. And
of course.
You know, and there's going to be times, of course, that you step outside of that.
We're human. We're human.
Yes, yes.
And again, not to bring in my work, but that's what I do at my, you know, I'm a leadership developer, and you know, I'll hear leaders all the time say, I took your class. This was great. I did good for about 2 months and I slipped right back into my old habits. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. This happens. Just who's going to be your accountability partner at work? Mm-hmm. Obviously it's another leader or colleague, you know, here it's my wife. It's each other.
That's awesome. Yeah. And do you still, you find time to just be the two of you during the course of the grandparenting and the parenting and all the rest of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. That's like, I'm just the grandparent piece, but your podcast is about relationships. And we're very intentional in terms of our relationship and making sure, you know, we're at that point in our lives. Or, you know, we all heard this when it happens someday when we become empty nesters and now grandparents, like we're living the dream. Like we have amazing marriage and I'm so lucky.
That's right. And the nest is more full than you probably ever had it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We're each other's best friends and we stay, because you know, I mean, you do this for a living, right? People, they drift away and they change, you know, we kind of drifted in the same direction, which is really good.
That's terrific. Yeah. Rick, if folks want to reach out to you directly, either maybe to work with you directly, ask you questions about your book. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, thank you. It's legacyofagrandpa@gmail.com. I also have a website with the same name, legacyofagrandpa.com, with some information there, a little bit about my book and the social media presence. And of course, my Instagram is very simple. Again, it's @legacyofagrandpa. Everybody says, how come you're not on like Twitter and TikTok? And I've never been a big social media guy. Instagram's been my platform. So I think YouTube might be the next platform, but
Whatever platform it is, you are going to find people interested and people listening. And folks, I want to repeat, Rick's book is Connecting Across Generations, One Conversation at a Time. It's on Amazon, other online platforms, maybe in local brick and block stores. You'd have to check with your local store. And I want to leave you with one last gem from Rick, and I'll read it because he has no idea what I'm going to say.
Oh, boy.
But this was another one that just, again, you know, I'm printing the T-shirt as we talk. And he says, legacy isn't built in the highlight reel. It's built in the B-roll.
Mm.
Very insightful. And we thank you for all of your insights. We thank you for spending the time with us. Again, Rick Cognata, go find him, legacyofagrandpa.com, and on Instagram, @legacyofagrandpa. We are the Bullets, TheBullitts. Find us on all major platforms, our website, @TheBullitts. Please watch this video on YouTube. Listen to us on all the platforms. I can't even repeat all of them. Julie keeps track of those. This has been Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.